grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Podcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.20, Closeted Conjurer, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
123 days. Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 32. Charity explains to Harry her history with magic. Harry figures out Molly's involvement with the fetches, and they make a plan to get Molly back.
Harry, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Okay. I was waiting to make that joke! I was waiting for somebody to say fetch first! Dang it!
You said it in the intro!
Children.
I was like,
so was I. Well, oh, tell me, Jessica, you weren't?
Obviously, I thought of it too, but come on. I wasn't waiting for my turn.
Oh, man.
So Charity is terrified. She wants to lie, she wants to deny, she wants to kill Harry right there on the spot. This is the worst possible day of her life. Yeah, sure, my kids almost got murdered, but somebody knows I had magic.
The one guy in all the world who abused and abhor for having magic.
My world is
takes
crashing
one
down.
To no one, huh, Charity?
And the worst part is he's just like, tell me the truth.
Right, he's like, I see it all go. And it's kind of funny because he's like, I couldn't have gotten more reaction if I shot her. And I'm like, honestly, this seems like a super calm reaction. But I'm like, I guess you're right. She does have a big reaction. She goes pale. She just about snaps the pew in front of her. I'm just thinking like...
It's like the death scene in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie for like Reuben.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you. I'm gonna run away.
20-minute long death scene, yeah. But it's kind of funny because I was like, again, because I'm like, it's not a big reaction. I'm like, again, I feel like if you got shot, you would have a much bigger reaction than this. But I was like, I guess, yeah, it's more the quality than the quantity here. But yeah, exactly. Like, he sees just all of this.
It all makes sense.
And he's like, don't even try. Yep. Don't play a player. What's the what?
So Charity confesses that she was a magic user and ended up in the wrong crowd. And when Michael saved her from the situation, she vowed never again to use magic ever.
Well, it's a little bit weird because when she first starts out, Harry's all like, oh, this is one of the worst cases. Like, this sucks so bad to be in Charity's position.
Well, we've
her
never
parents...
really gotten backstory on Charity before,
yeah,
right?
She's got no family. Okay, point is, though, is that, oh, she's one of the worst cases? You murdered someone.
Just he didn't say the worst.
I know, but come on. Oh, her parents sent her to some schools and some hospitals disguised as schools, and they were a little bit negligent of her. And Harry's like, oh, this is one of the worst, like, most...
Wait, she's like...
I'm setting her into an institution.
Listen, I get that those are bad and scary places,
she's
but
like,
again, like, one
like
of these kids was just a couple of days ago turning his family into murderers and suicidal people, and... sticking them on each other, and the council just, like, executed him. So let's not say one of the worst cases when you know that there's way worse that they could go.
I guess in perspective of that, sir.
But yeah, he's like, oh no, Charity had to deal with some neglect. That's the worst thing that can ever happen to a magical child. Like, all right.
Well, but yes and no. I mean, exactly. Instead of having somebody to explain to her what was going on and nurture and teach. Exactly.
Which seems to be typical of every single magical child on the whole fucking planet. All of them so far.
Most of them, although apparently in Harry's world, a lot of them do not. Harry didn't happen to be one of those. And all the bad magicians that they go after obviously weren't those. But all the other hundreds of millions of children out there that are, you know, all the Lucios and Morgans. Morgans was once a happy little, loved by his parents, angel of a child.
Was he? You don't know that.
Gently eased into the world of magic.
Don't know that.
Well, yes, otherwise he would have had more sympathy for Harry.
He just thinks it's a moral failing, whether if you just immediately turn to black magic just because you didn't know magic had rules at all. That's just a moral failing on your part, and you deserve to die.
But, yes, it's on the one hand, I kind of get what he's saying, and on the other hand, yeah, you're right. You're like, this is kind of like what I was just saying. He's like, she couldn't have had a bigger reaction if I shot her. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure there would have been a bigger reaction if you shot her. It's all about, I guess, you know.
He was feeling empathetic.
Right. Harry and his, I don't know, hyperbole, whatever. So, yes, granted, though, she did not have a good, and even just without the magic, right? She had these rich, snotty parents.
She's a little bit like Faith Hill here.
Faith Hill?
No, not Faith Hill. Faith.
Faith? I was like,
What was that kid's last name? Aster?
Yes. Yeah, Faith Astor, not Faith Hill. Whatever. Faith Hill might argue with you.
I was trying to think of one of her country songs, and I just like, I don't know.
Fat Kiss?
So, yeah, she basically joined up with a cult, and when the cult eventually got investigated by the wardens, it made them even angrier.
Big surprise! You guys are doing a lot of shit you shouldn't be. There's rules about this stuff.
Now, what? I do like, it's almost shitty in the first place how it first starts out with the wardens come and they're like, oh, they made themselves seem like big and scary and bad, which would ostracize these kids even more that are following Gregor. On the other hand, individually interviewing them all and being like, these are the rules, this is what's expected, blah, 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 is
not
giving them that
them
chance. Yeah, but it is giving them that chance and not just letting them be subjected to Gregor's teachings only. At least there was some almost intervention there to a point, but at the same time, I'm still like, you fucking stupid-ass wardens are so fucking bad at your job. You finally actually tracked down some people that you could impart information to, and you're like, we're not going to do anything except tell you that we might one day kill you. Bye! Have fun with your little cult thing.
More than that Harry got, really. Well, he was just been like, yeah, you fucked up, buddy. We're maybe going to kill you.
Well, but Harry's was actually a little bit different because he at least had Justin, who, regardless that nobody knew he was evil, at least it was a magical person in the community who adopted him when he was fairly young and whatever. For most of these people, they literally came across a cult of magic users and they were like, you told that lie. We're going to come kill you. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything to disband them. They didn't do anything to stop Gregor. They were just like, who are we to stop you before you actually commit black magic?
Just a little slap on the knuckles and then walk away.
Which is, you know, again, from our perspective in a fantasy world, we're like, bullshit. You want to bring a touch of reality into this? And I'm like, yeah, it tracks. You know, all the cults that nobody has done anything about because they can't. They haven't crossed that. Like, I remember one time being in an event as a young adult and these guys were like parked in a car with like a fucking like 6-inch machete or something. And there's like a wedding going on aside from like our event. I'm like, this seems really shifty. And like, it was my sister-in-law that had like noticed it first. So like I went for a walk with her and we're like, this seems really like sketchy. And so we called, and they're like, yeah, we can't do anything about it if it's of a certain size or stuff. They're not actually doing anything until they jump out of the car and start stabbing people. They're allowed to sit in their car with a giant-ass knife.
Perfect.
We're like, okay, cool, well, thanks, right? So, I mean, shit like this, you know, all the time, right? Like, child services cases and this and that, where you're like, well, we knew all this was going on, but until they actually did this, or we had to wait for that.
Yeah. No one gives a shit about real-world bureaucracies, okay? The wardens kill whoever the fuck they want to kill. And it's just so stupid that they're just like,
say some of these allegories.
Kill anyone, yes, who cares?
Well, yeah, this is the whole point. This is what Harry's been saying for years. They just about beheaded me for nothing. Now all these people that they have reason, they sit back and do nothing. So they're all
just the wizards just don't want to mentor anyone. They don't give a shit about having apprentices for jack shit. They're like, oh, Gregor wants to have 15 of them on his own. Thanks for taking one for the team, bud.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. It's all kinds of messed up in all kinds of ways. And at least finally, well, people started going missing. I guess that's when Charity was finally like, okay, wait.
This might be bad situation.
The pseudo-sketchy stuff before that wasn't quite enough, and she's like, oh, people are going missing, and I'm next.
That was kind of confusing, though, is that, okay, she finally starts asking questions, so he ties her up and offers her to a dragon. You just had a dragon on file? Like,
right? This is where he's been sacrificing all the other people to get his power from. That's what she said. He made a deal with Saravax here or whatever.
It's just weird,
so
though.
He was offering these human sacrifices to get power from the dragon. And aside from, like, whatever, she was semi-useful before. I don't know how he picked. If it was other people started questioning or they just weren't as good or they pissed him off. But, yeah, hers apparently was when he started questioning things and not being a unquestioning little brainwashed slave that he went, oh, wait a second. Okay, you're next to get fed to the dragon.
This is the only weird part to me, though, is that, okay, so Michael comes and saves her and he kills the dragon. First of all, why were you there? Does God just know that this was, like, your perfect future wife? So he was like, go do this wonderful job.
It's okay that the other six people got killed and fed to the dragon before, but this one, you're going to save this one.
But it's like,
you've seen how hot she
is? There's nothing to do with, you know, the Fallen, which is really Michael's only job. He only ever gets sent on Denarians.
Not
so the fact that he was just there for this one dragon is like,
all
right, sure. But maybe God was like, you'll have, you know.
Maybe the dragon was a Denarian.
Well,
that's true,
maybe,
too.
Fair enough. But point is that I was just like, it's kind of weird that Michael was there for this anyways. But even beyond that, but this is the one thing she never told. Like, he never asked, why are you being sacrificed? Like, why you? And she was just like, oh, you know, I was walking down the street and I got grabbed.
Right. Yeah, I did find a little bit like,
Michael never questioned why you were with a dragon, though. Most people don't find themselves with a dragon.
Maybe,
he's just too smitten off. Ooh, you're party.
I was going to say, as we just said in the last chapter, how they're total partners and they share everything and they don't lie to each other. But maybe it was this whole
but
thing.
But that didn't start till marriage, and you saved me before that. So
that right, that was like, okay, that first one.
This is not a grandfathered rule.
By the time I knew this was where it was going to end up, it was too late to go back.
Why don't
now.
We ever talk to your parents?
It's like telling someone like a fake name in a bar or something like that, where you're like, shit, I didn't think I'd actually end up dating them. And like 3 months in, you're like, so my name's not actually Desiree. But she could have just been part of a cult and not known that he was like a crazy magic guy and starting to sacrifice them off. She could maybe.
Oh, benefit of the doubt.
She could maybe.
Well, she joined up because they all had low level powers.
But she didn't necessarily have to share that part with him. She could have just joined a cult, you know? It just turned out that he had magic.
Join a cult.
Right. Turns out he was magic and sacrificing. It probably helped. That's why it gave her plausible deniability. Those other six people that were sacrificed, I don't know why. He just killed them.
I'd like it even better if Michael was like, yeah, she totally. Things I don't know. God read me your file 5 minutes before I showed up. But yeah, let's keep this secret.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, all those other things. I'm like, oh, you didn't know. I'm like, oh no, I totally knew. You didn't want to tell me.
That is canon in my head now.
Michael's like, oh,
she thinks I don't know, but who might have rocked the boat makes her happy if she thinks I don't know.
Or even worse, he thinks that she was like dating Gregor and is too embarrassed to say. Her boyfriend tried to sacrifice her to a dragon. I'm not going to bring it up.
But, like, I love this because if you go back to, like, book 3 or whatever, when Charity and Susan have to, like, come and bail them out of jail and stuff like that, and Susan's like, who is this? Well, and he's like, oh, that's his wife. He's like, how did they meet? He's like, oh, she rescued him. Or he rescued her from a dragon. And moved. I'm like, oh, yes, this is what this actually was. This, you know, it's like this. You're like, is Dresden just being, like a smartass? And, like, or you could also, again, without knowing it, you're like, sure, Michael is this old mystical, magical superhero. Now we know how and why. And yes, she did get rescued from it. That's how they met.
Which, presumably, we got Michael's version of the story. And now we have Charity's.
Now we have the other side of it. But yes.
So Harry deduces from this that the real argument between Charity and Molly was her coming into her magic and Charity wanting her to give it up.
This is
and then enter the problem with Harry being, you know, the influence of magic good. Magic good. This man does great things with magic.
Yeah, just flitting in and out of their lives. But Charity says she was low level, nothing like what Dresden has, and hers started showing just before her 16th birthday. Harry, we know.
So
he was adopted
like
by in between like 9 and 11, Harry, because he won the long jump race, and then, yeah, he gets adopted like around 12, right? So he already had shit going on by then. Molly is 17 now. We don't know exactly, but apparently it's been going on
for the last 2 years that the fighting has gotten worse and worse.
Right. So obviously we know that, she was at least 15, maybe a little bit before. So I'm like, again, I wonder if this is indicative of how much power you have as to when it starts manifesting and stuff like that, right? Charity was almost 16 and she was low level. Harry was an itty bitty boy and he's like a badass. And
it could also be that whole like nurture versus nature, you know. Harry was a sad orphan Harry. He had a lot more places to have accidental magic, whereas Molly's in a loving home where, you know, you don't need to fly your Cheerios to your breakfast before the other orphans can eat them.
She may have also intentionally hid it too if she didn't.
Yeah, we don't know.
She's like, oh.
Well, for sure.
Mom's going to get so mad if she finds this out.
How do you have so many handcuff keys, Molly? I've been floating them off of like Walmart shelves for the last 6 years.
What kind of Walmart do you go to with handcuffs in it? But yes. Again, States versus Canada.
Yeah, they sell guns.
If we sell guns and alcohol, we're totally going to have handcuffs, people. Like, come on. But yes. But yeah, just that. Definitely, I can see her hiding some of it again just from typically the way you see the beginning of this book. She's like, Mom is such a control freak. Then again, Mom's, again, how much disapproval she's shown to Harry being against magic. That, you're right, same thing. You're like, I'm just not even going to bring this up with Mom because I know what she's going to say, hands down,
well,
right?
And, you know, as you said already, you just totally get why, well, Harry looks like this fucking hero. He shows up saving the day. He helps
Big
Dad fight the bad guys. He's so cool.
Wise,
but Mom
cracky.
Is crazy for being on this guy's ass. Like, why wouldn't I want to be like this guy?
Right.
And yeah, Harry being like, oh.
And I just really appreciate this whole chapter for this moment of explanation why Charity is so annoyed by him.
Because
she's
so
like,
anti.
No, stop doing that. And I can't tell you why you have to stop doing that.
And it's like, totally again, they have given us logic, right? She's like, you get my husband in trouble every time you show up. It's like that, you know, fucking one Van Wilder.
Yeah, every time you
Kumar,
lead him off his
whatever
path,
fuck,
he's in danger.
Whenever you show up, you're the stupid frat bro that, yeah, exactly right. So it's like, we do get a certain reasonable explanations for why. But again, you're like, but it still feels like it's not quite proportionate somehow. Like, she's so against just the existence of him, right? You're like, oh,
this validates
now
her.
It starts.
Totally validates
we
her.
We get some of those layers, right? That, yes, even when he's not dragging him out, even when he hasn't showed up for that, where she's still like, not today, Satan.
Stop inviting him to Thanksgiving!
Yeah, right? Right, so it's like, So yeah, Charity's got this. Oh, again, explains the Catholicism. She's got all this guilt over this. So she had this thing and she didn't want it and she didn't figure out how to use it well and she hasn't used it since. And again, use it or lose it. It eventually just goes away if you don't nurture it and don't. So, I don't know, Harry, you know, Charity is like good riddance. She could also be feeling some residual. And right, because look at what Harry and stuff has done.
I guess this means that she's going to live a long time, though, regardless, isn't it?
I don't think so, because I think part of what makes the wizards live is the healing factor.
Is it the magic, like, because her magic has gone kind of away?
No, but
that
is interesting, that if it's the magic, because you're right, Butters doesn't say that he's, we're assuming, right? Does the wizard's body just naturally, regardless, create new cells, or is it the magic in the wizard's body that creates these almost brand new cells? So
I think it's the magic in the body, because it's still just a human person, but the magic is, you know, healing it just much, much slower than the other supernatural.
That would make more sense.
Because that'll be even more traumatic for, like, Charity in the long run if it does have this unnaturally long life that she'll outlive.
No wonder why she's still so buff and spry at 40 when the rest of us are slowing down. She's like, I've only got the body of a 20-year-old still.
Well, she's also, like, 10-plus years younger than Michael, too. But yes.
Is she that much younger than Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think. I thought they were closer. I knew she was a little bit. I thought she was. Is she? Okay.
Michael shows up and saves her when she's, like, 18, 19, 20. And at that point, he's already in his 30s or whatever like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I remember reading something that he's a bit older.
They have quite an age gap between the two of them.
Okay. I just didn't recall if it was that big of a...
But...
Okay. Regardless.
Regardless, I don't think that she's going to be, like, wizard timeline at all.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably not. I hadn't really... Again, I think I was more inclined to feel sort of that way, too. That, like, yeah, if it's gone, she probably is.
She likes Juliet herself as soon as Michael dies. He's like, where's the poison?
yeah, exactly, right? But yeah, but just, again, I was going to say, though, does it ever make her wonder, like, again, does she have regret? Now, like, again, Harry pisses her off, but is that part of why? When she's like, I could have used my power to save things like Michael does, or see how Harry uses his power to, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if any of that
resentment
to
him, point,
too, now is
it
like...
It might sometimes feel like when she's got no power and she's hopeless, she's like, damn, if only I'd kept it, I could have done something. But I think from Charity's point of view, when, you know, Gregor was the only thing, she'd be like, why the fuck would I want to be involved with that? Like, yeah, okay, it's great that it worked out for Harry, but it didn't for me. And
yeah, which is why she let it go. But I mean, again, you want to get
her only talk about it was like, yeah, we'll just get, if you fuck this up, we're just going to come back and kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But well, that sucks.
If you want to bring the Catholic side of it back into it, right, there's the parables and whatever about, you know, fathers handing out gifts, and there's, like, the one son goes and, like, buries, you know, he gives them all however much money. And the one kid is like, and he's like, you know, come back to me and whatever. And he buries it all.
Okay, so
he's
okay,
like,
okay.
And then the one goes and invests it and comes back with more. And he's like, you just did nothing. You just, like, these guys went out and did something with their money, or at least tried to, whether they lost it or whether they doubled it or whether you just did nothing with, I gave you this gift and you just, you didn't do anything good, but you didn't do anything bad, or you didn't do anything bad.
I know, like, two parables, and that's one of them. So thank you, first of all.
You're welcome. So it could be like that, right? Like, did God give you this gift? Were you supposed to do something with it? Or again, is it like, again, you're born with original sin, you choose to sin, you can get rid of that and turn away from it.
I think it is also, you know, the way Fort Hill also describes things too, is like, if that's not the path for you, then it's not the path for you. You shouldn't go down and don't force yourself. It's not necessarily like, oh, you've abandoned your gift, you've smited God, I think it is a little bit like, okay, well, listen, God's given you the opportunity, but you have free will. That's the whole point. It's like,
and that's likely not the case, because Michael is still very well supported by the big man upstairs.
Well, and so, also charity, I think, if it really was, you know, a spit in God's face to, like, give up her magic,
she would have let it get eaten by a dragon.
No, I think she's more than made up for it in all other aspects of her life, okay? She's very devout, okay?
Yes, yeah. It's,
I think he can let that one go for her.
But it just brings up these interesting things. And again, Fort Hill's point about Charity's got her own demons and is fighting for her own faith and all this kind of stuff, right? Because these are, right, things she could definitely be, when she was like 18, was like, hands off, I'm out of this. But, you know, exactly, it could be something as simple as like, okay, God gave you the brains. You have the brains to go and be an accountant, or you have the brains to go and be like a world-class chef. One's not better than the other. You have the ability to do both. If you don't want to be an accountant, sure, go be a chef, right? Makes sense. Don't force yourself to be an accountant.
What's your point then?
Point being is that
it's still free will. Okay, yeah, do whatever you want, Charity. No one cares, including God.
But that's what I was saying. I was like agreeing with you in that point that it was like, it could just be, or again, right, that just her struggling with the point of,
I see your point. And yeah, okay, maybe we all have regret in like a dire moment when it's like, fuck, if only I, you know, hadn't sold my car, I would have been able to run to the hospital right now. But instead, I have to wait for the ambulance and my kid is going to die, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that's not really. Like, what if, what if, what if? Who gives a shit? Charity didn't want magic. She doesn't have magic. That's that. At the end of the day, she's probably always grateful for that. Who cares about these tiny
more
moments
often
of grief?
Than not, yes, I guess.
And she's committed enough to it that she's trying to convince Molly of the exact same thing.
Well, exactly. I was like, Charity is so, well, a deeply decided person.
Because
she knows who she is. I don't think she's up at night with regrets, honestly. I think every day she's
like,
that's
the choice
I made.
No, but that's what I mean, is that could emphasize that. But why she's against Molly? Because again, if it's okay for Molly.
I know, but it's not jealousy. It's anger. She doesn't fucking like magic. It's not, oh, I'm so jealous that you got to keep it and I didn't.
No, I wasn't going to say necessary. Maybe it's jealousy. I was just going to say justify it.
No. Harry, what's wrong with Molly? She has been breaking into her friends' minds and changing their thing.
For a really good cause. But she's not supposed to be doing it. So yes. Find out Rosie is pregnant. Rosie's a drug addict. Let's get you away from the drugs instant, without going through withdrawal, without going through relapse, without just, drugs are bad and you're done because you have this baby.
This is, to me, is the most like
altruistic.
No, like hardcore religious people not able to see the actual good solution to things. Like, yeah, we'll make a conversion camp. That'll solve everything. Like,
right, yeah, it sort of ignores the morality.
Exactly.
This is the thing. Molly is a 17-year-old child. She's grown up in a lot of ways. She's a young woman. She's on the verge of adulthood and being on her own and making these decisions. But this is why we don't consider people adult yet and give them that power to vote at this age, because you're not quite there. You meant well, but you fucked up.
Oh, fucking Molly, well, Charity being able to know and still know the laws and memorize the laws to immediately clock, oh my god, she broke one of them, is also, for me, strange. Like, really? You memorized that after some, was no,
it either? It made an impression. There's only seven
maybe,
of them.
Maybe, but, you know, we've been on this series for 5 years. I've been reading this series for a long, long, long time, and I would still have to, like, okay, what are all seven of them? Like, yeah, don't kill with magic. That's pretty obvious. And don't time travel, and, you know, something about the gates. Okay,
thou shalt not open the outer gates.
Yeah, okay, mind control, that's fine. What are we, four? Three more I have to come up with? I'm not sure I could do it.
I'm not 100% sure if we've been introduced. I would have to stop a minute and think about them. Yes and no.
Exactly. They just don't come to me that fast. If I was trying to repress magic to that degree.
Which is fair. But again, yes. I think if somebody showed up and threatened to chop your head off, it might have made more of an impression. You might have committed those seven.
Right, sure.
Or again, one of the big ones, right? It's like the Ten Commandments. You know, there's a couple of smaller ones that are easy to forget. The majority of the Ten Commandments are no problem.
What's thou shalt not kill? Is that one of them?
That is one.
Perfect. Easy.
Kill, I don't know steal, that I, covet. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever even read them.
You possibly have not, and that's on me, I get. But, you know, again, as something that is.
I got three. Nope, that was...
Probably close. Just like nope. Regular laws, right? Don't steal, don't kill.
That's a lot
I don't
of
know.
Them. So
no like the, public intoxication.
Like the Wiccan Ready is just like...
No fish on Fridays.
Don't do it or else it's going to come back to you three times.
Yeah,
okay.
So close, you guys. Really close.
Only fish on Fridays.
There shall... Yeah, you're not allowed to, you know, honor and worship false gods. Above okay. The real
idols.
All right.
Well, yeah, no false idols.
I was just talking about Moses and his cows last night.
Right? Don't take, I believe not taking the...
Recently the Mel Brooks one where Moses comes down, I have these 20 commandments. He drops one, he's like, I have these 10 commandments.
That's my kind of guy. Drop a few more, please. I can memorize apparently up to two.
I would just like to say, number four, you can start following anytime you want. Thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. At least the ones that stuck around. I don't care about the father at this point.
Moses should have dropped that one. That is not worth it.
Depends which side of that fence you're on. But yes, it's kind of funny too, because again, having known this, and obviously, as you say, they made an impression that she still can recognize certain ones. It's like, so you've just been letting Molly run where you've just been trying to go like, sex is bad, don't have sex, but you're not actually educating her all about the sex and telling her why sex might be bad at this time and place. So instead of telling her like, okay, Molly, you're exhibiting some signs of magic, these are things you got to know about it, you just let her go off and make mortal sin instead of just a venial one, and now you're like,
yeah, it's a little
oh,
bit of a
shit.
Head in the sand sort of avoid.
Yeah,
avoid.
You know, it's like,
but it incriminates her, which she's already lied by omission.
Which, exactly. It's a whole bunch of things on top of things on top of things, right? But it's like, yeah, chicken, egg, layer, sand. What do you start? If you're going to deny it, then it doesn't exist. If you're going to admit it exists, then you need to exeducate her. Everybody's dropped the ball on here somewhere around, somehow, something, right? And again, if you want to use it as an allegory for something or
well,
this
the wardens don't make a handbook for how to raise your magical child.
Which by now you'd think, again, given like Harry, I'm sure, not the first one to ever go down.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of fucked up wizard children.
I mean, they were so fucking successful in getting Dracula and Bram Stoker out there in the world. But everything else, they're like, fuck it, figure it out yourselves, morons.
That was really hard.
It was so hard. Do you know how hard it is to write a book?
You know what? I lived for 400 published. Years. I'm just going to take
child
the next...
Childcare, too?
Oh, man. And we had to translate it in so many languages.
I did like a whole lot. Now I'm just going to take the next 300 years off. As a little break for me. You know, it's a 3-week human vacation is like a 3-century break for wizards.
Oh, straight up.
They're like, oh, we'll come back to all that. We got time.
Oh, useless.
Yeah.
So Harry's deduction that Molly used her magic to make Nelson and Rosie afraid to use drugs, which is really what ended up attracting these fetch.
All these fear things. All of a sudden, there's so much more fear going around.
And an added layer of complication is that they are agents of Winter, Queen Mabs in particular. The
fetches, not the friends.
Yes. That they're
persons.
Elite spies and assassins and very powerful shapeshifters.
Which I get and sounds creepy as hell, but I'm like, all they've done so far is jump out and go boo at people. I'm like, these are your elite spies? I can't climb a treehouse.
I don't think the phobophages and the fetches are the same thing.
I think the fetches
are just sicking the phobophages on them, and the fetches themselves are just here for Molly.
Building up to it? I don't know, because that's what he's saying. He's like, these are the things that are coming through.
But I think that's just, like, those are the elite things that are strong enough to send the phobophages through the mirror.
So
but they themselves are just stalking Molly, waiting for a good time to grab her.
So it's like they're the big bad guy, and they just released a bunch of ants to get everybody all worked out.
Basically,
and then when you come out screaming about the ants, then they're going to...
Because I wasn't really clear on reading this chapter. Chapter where whether it was like it sort of was who was sending them, like, because it's Queen Mab's, like, elite. Yeah. Was it she the one that was sending it? Or is it just because...
Middleman.
That she actually accidentally attracted it.
It almost implies that it would be, like, they work for Mab, so they do everything at Mab's bidding. But then when you get more of the story, and this is a little bit of spoilers, but I'm going to say it now, is that if they're just looking for strong magical users to feed off of, then Mab's not, like, overseeing dinner time.
Yes.
Wrong place, wrong time. Little wizards should watch their backs.
I was going to say, yeah, middle management kind of a thing. You know, you got the queen, but the armies run themselves and the, you know what I mean? Not everything goes directly. She's like, this is how shit should go. These are the rules you have to follow. Right. But
so Molly started bleeding off magic and started making all her friends around her really afraid. So the fetches were like, oh my God, this is the greatest smelling buffet of my life.
And not even just that, but black magic-y things on top of the fear, right? So there's that extra layer of...
So then I think the fetches were like, how do we get to her? We'll send phobophages to make the fear even worse, and then we'll grab the girl, and then we'll eat her, and it'll be great.
Why the gatekeeper was also like, hey, Harry, this is...
You might want to look into this.
This is someone you... I can't say it.
Real conveniently, it's happening in your block. Here you go.
Right?
This is something that you need to address.
And again,
no one else, you.
And I fully
and I don't
want to
say too much. Well, yeah, he had to. I mean, again, this is what they say. They're like, you dressed it in like summer night and stuff like that. And again,
he's
right.
Doing a big solid for him.
Yeah, when he first talks to Bob, and Bob is like, yeah, he can't really tell you because obviously he knows what's going on. But if he straight up tells you, might ripple things in the wrong direction or whatever. So, yeah, exactly, right? But this is why he put you on, and this is why he wanted you to be on the lookout, because damn straight, somewhere he knew that this was a big connection.
Mm-hmm.
And as more things
very
play
exciting.
Out, but yeah. Well, but then she figures it out. Then she was like, oh, wait a minute. You sent these after her. Well, okay, yeah, I didn't know it was her. But right, he's got that whole thing to deal with because she was like, you're the one that tried to turn it back on the summoner. And he's like, yeah, but I didn't know. You know,
it's like, it worked the first time.
But it would have worked the first time.
It was a good idea the first time.
It was a good idea the first time. Yeah. See, if Trixie Vixen hadn't fucked it up and I could have just had it work that time, I wouldn't have fucking needed to do it again to prove my point.
This is Harry back in book one. If I should have just worked back in book one, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, yeah. And she, again, is just about fucking snapping. It's like the pew creaked harder. You know? It's like... Please don't put those hands around my neck. I already had something supernatural trying to crush my neck tonight. Yeah. So, yeah. So then she was like, so who did call them? Who brought them to my home? And then he's like, okay, I don't think anybody really did. This is the next part.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, let's keep going. Let's just, okay, we'll just escape by this part, Cherry. You don't have to focus on that too hard.
Okay, so how
I
long does...
I saved you, remember?
How long does Molly have exactly? And this is, you know, right back to where I thought, Daniel, you're such a good, perfect little golden boy. Thank you for just answering the question and not ruining all of our days. And Harry's like, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe a day. Time is different here and vice versa. And we never know anything. And Charity's just staring at him. I'd be like, fucking same, like... Okay.
So what are we still doing? You're sitting about this. Get your ass moving.
I had to go and get a...
Do you have an idea about where she is?
I had to go and get a tire repaired from the mechanic. And I said, is this going to be enough to get me home? Or am I going to, like, be stranded on the highway again? And they were like, well, who can say, really? And I'm like, well, you're the professional here. I was really hoping you could say. And they'd be like, well, it's a liability for us to tell you how long this tire could last. And I'm like, you're the professional. I just paid you a couple $100s. Can I fucking make it home? And they would not say. Because they were like, it's a liability for us to tell you how long this tire can last. And I was like, how about I burn this place down and you die and then I don't have to fucking worry about your fucking liability ever again. It was so frustrating. I'm like you're the professional.
I understand.
You're the one who's supposed to fucking have some sort of idea. I got no idea how good or bad this tire is.
That's when you say, I can't say, but yes, it should,
literally,
it
like,
should be reasonable to get you home, but you cannot hold me accountable.
We went back and forth for so long. Because I was like, I'm not fucking getting in my car if I'm going to be hiking back here in an hour. Until finally, like, I don't know, some other random janitor, manager, who the fuck knows, walked by and said, yeah, you can go home. And I was like, fucking thank you, you fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
I literally have never written a Yelp review about them, but every now and again, like once a year, I'm like, you know what? I should go and fucking tear them apart because I want every single person who works there to fucking die. Why can't you just answer the question, Harry? You're the expert here. What are we working with here? Don't give me all this back and forth. Is my daughter already dead? Yes or no? Just fucking say it already.
Opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the
opinions. If you're a mechanic in this world, you're the worst person on earth. I hate you.
Please don't send people to arrest my daughter. She's not actually a homebrew.
Hate you. Answer a question. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Just sign the waiver.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
So yeah, I would be freaking the fuck out over, go. I mean, again, Jessica wandered away in West Edmonton Mall when she was 2 years old. And once we realized that that was the case, I'm fucking talking to the cashiers. I'm fucking getting security called in. Like, how the fuck do you? I'm not like, so how long do you think she has before we should maybe worry about whether she's coming back or not? Like, you know, I was like, everybody on the move right now. And thankfully, she was semi-smart. She ended up wandering a couple stores down and went to a cashier. And the cashier had her. But
all right. So there's a lot of layers of problems with her being in the Never Never. The time thing definitely being one of them. But, like, the fact is that the sheer size of it is, like, really hard to figure out where she is actually going
to
be.
And there's no coordinates. You know, coordinate one is not next to coordinate two.
And he doesn't have the power to actually challenge Mab directly in her own domain if she's, like, going to call him on it.
If she is the one. Forget in her own domain.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Even less so, and yeah. I can stand up to her anyways. Home field advantage. Well, and we get another slight payoff here, because I'm pretty sure back in, like, book one, right, as Harry, when he mentions that he has, like, all the mirrors and shit in his house covered up, he has no reflective surfaces, it really doesn't come up again. And here's finally the payoff where he's like, I suddenly figured that's where they're all coming when there's a mirror in the bathroom, there's reflective surfaces in a kitchen, there's, like, and they're like, oh, by the way, this is how they got in everywhere.
It's really funny, though, to think about a bunch of, like,
it only took us, like,
eight. Phobophages sitting around being, like, waiting for a wizard to just finally shave.
Right, something. Well, that's
okay, Jerry. I'm signing off. You come watch the mirror now and see if he shaves today.
Even Rosie's little fucking, like, compact, right? Mirror, is like, you just got damn lucky that she managed to check her lip gloss at the end of this movie. You know, like, what the fuck is, you know? But exactly right. It's kind of almost like a Monsters, Inc. with the bedroom doors coming by. But even that was a little bit more organized. And right, these are just, like, yeah, randomly waiting to see if a door will show up. You know. I don't know.
I think of it more as the Sam and Coyote, where they come in and they clock in and then they're mortal enemies. And then at the end of the day, Sam goes and clocks out and he's like, all right, have a good day. And the Coyote's like, I'm going to fucking get you, motherfucker. God, I'm going to get you. Sam's like, no, it was a good work day. Did our 9-to-5s. Let's go home. And Coyote's like, I swear to God, tomorrow I'm going to fucking get you.
He spends all night playing. Is it Order of the Phoenix, where they go into the room and there's, like, the 12 doors and each door they open is, like, a different thing? Isn't that where, like, or am I thinking of something else?
Well, that could
be. Or is it a Percy Jackson thing or something? I feel like it's one of those where they end up.
It's a Room of Requirement.
No, not that one.
Well, no, like, when they go to, like, get Harry's
the Order of the Phoenix, yeah.
There was, like, I don't know that they opened a bunch of doors, but it was a bunch of hallways that they just kept going up and down.
There was some, unless it was the movie depicted it, though. But, yeah, I have this thing of exactly where, you know, the Scooby gang or whoever ends up in this sort of room with, like, 12 doors. And so they open the first one, and it's, like, exactly, it's, like, the room where the brains all, like, attack Neville or whatever. And then...
The Nightmare Before Christmas had a lot of doors.
it did, too, but, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's kind of, yeah, that kind of, right, so they, yeah, they, you know, the genius of the group has to eventually figure out which doors they've... that's it, because every time you go back in, then they spin around again, and you don't know which was the door you just came out of.
I don't remember at all.
I don't know, but anyways, who knows, it could have been a Scooby-Doo cartoon, really, yeah. But it's kind of like that or whatever, and right, also these randomly waiting around to see what door will open up and where the fuck it'll lead you, and...
Harry tells Charity that he's going to have to ask for some help, and she's not going to like the help that he asked for.
Again, no Daniel. Can't just tell her.
And ruin the surprise and shock and awe?
No. So, yes. So he figures out, yes, he's got to ask for stuff. He's got to do this. He's got to figure out that. He's got to keep Molly from getting caught by the wardens first and having Morgan, like, decapitate her.
Right. Having that little reflective moment. It really does actually set up a really nice full circle from the beginning of the book where we have...
A kid getting executed.
Here's why we have this scene in the beginning, so we could come back to it.
Right.
It has a relevance now. It's not just about Harry being a big baby.
This is why we killed a kid at the start of a book.
Yeah.
Because now a kid Harry knows is at risk of being beheaded.
Scary judicial.
Judicial. Yes.
Judo.
Judo-ical.
Chop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's scary.
It is. So he doesn't know how long Molly has. He doesn't know how long they're going to play with their food before they eat her. He doesn't know whether time is moving fast or slow here or there. But what he does know is that they've got 2 hours in the human world before dawn comes. And dawn will start fucking up whatever footprints Molly has left behind thus far. So I don't know about anything else. I don't know if it'll make a difference, but I know this. So I'm going to work within this. I got 2 hours to formulate a plan, pull it all together, get everything and everyone on board, and pull it off before dawn happens and wipes everything out for sure. And we definitely have nowhere to start. Simple.
Need a little bit of hair.
I need a little bit of hair. No problem, says Charity. I have some in her baby book. Perfect. I'll go get it. Show me where it is. I'll get it. I don't think so. That's not necessary. That's fine. Listen, bitch, my daughter is in trouble. I'm fucking coming with you. Okay. I just saw what you did to that pew. Okay.
Done.
Done. She's my daughter.
This concludes our episode 17.20, Closeted Conjurer. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and maganellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and see all those notes that I put pretty pictures in. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.